Good morning. Welcome to Mid Morning. I'm Catherine Lanfer. Supporters of a new baseball stadium for the Twins perhaps were hoping for a little different strategy when Governor Jesse Ventura finally entered the fray. Calling it his put your money where your mouth is approach, the governor has suggested that stadium supporters contribute the equivalent of their sales tax rebate to a special fund administered by the state. If even 10% of the rebate is mailed back in, that should be enough to cover the state share of St. Paul Mayor Norm Coleman's proposed stadium plan. While the governor's plan was presented in plain enough English, the response to it has also been, shall we say, easy to understand. An editorial in the Star Tribune referred to it as loopy. Others wonder if it doesn't present a perfect barometer for how much support for a baseball stadium is really out there. Which, of course, makes us curious. Will you send money to the stadium fund? Here at Mid-Morning, of course, we don't want your cash. Hey, pledge drive us next week. We want your calls as we look at the governor's proposal. Now, I should mention that we have all the information you could want about the stadium debate on the Minnesota Public Radio website. It's npr.org. You can look at pictures of various sites that have been proposed as possible spots for a new stadium. And you can participate in a poll about several different questions surrounding the stadium issue. And, of course, you can call in to join our conversation with David Brower. He's a freelance writer in the Twin Cities, a correspondent for Newsweek, the Chicago Tribune, and Agence France-Presse. He's also a board member of Ballpark Tours, who in the late 1970s organized a grassroots group to save Metropolitan Stadium. That would be the former Twin Stadium. And we're also talking today to Steve Berg. He's an editorial writer at the Star Tribune. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us this morning.
Great to be here, Catherine.
Hey. Nice to be here.
As I said, we are putting out the call to folks if they would like to, if they're going to send in their money for that fund, they can join us at 1-800-242-2828. And even if they're not, and they're in the Twin Cities, they can join us at 651-227-6000. Now, Steve Berg, I wanted to start with you. Loopy. Isn't that a little bit of a harsh criticism of the governor's plan? You're smiling.
Yeah, it might be a little bit harsh, but, you know, we've had really good relations with this governor. I think that anybody who reads our editorial page knows that we've been surprised and delighted by most of what he's said and done. And we don't take his plan totally seriously, so I hope he doesn't take the word loopy too seriously either.
Why not take this plan seriously? I mean, as he described it as a combination of, look, we've got potential revenues here of $1 billion, and it's a de facto poll. That's how your own newspaper described it.
Well, that's right. It certainly is a clever idea, especially if you're against something.
Now, what is it about this word clever? Mayor Sharon Sales Belton described the plan as clever, and the word fairly steamed off the page. She doesn't often get thorny.
Well, I think it is clever. It's very insightful of him to do this, but I think you have to point out, as we did, that he owes his fame and fortune himself as a performer to public contributions from citizens around the country who paid for arenas, publicly financed arenas, that he made his life fame and fortune out of. We would have no Governor Jesse Ventura if it weren't for those taxpayers, none of whom contributed to a fund to build these arenas. We'd have no Governor Jesse. We'd still have James Janos, a public citizen, were it not for that. So he's got to, I mean, that's what leads us to believe that part of this is just kind of fun-making on his part. He's certainly a guy who, if you study his career, you know that he probably has a good deal, and maybe for good reason, of resentment toward a lot of big-time sports promoters and owners. They probably pushed him around a good bit in his life. And I see him as a guy who is enjoying very much having the Twins and Vikings owners twist in the wind a little bit. Of course, the other Catherine, the other reason, the serious reason why we don't think this is a good idea is it's just no way to run government. I mean, if Bill Clinton were to, let's say the European allies were trying to get Bill Clinton to get in on the Kosovo war, and he said, well, we're not so sure, let's have a poll, people can send money in and we might send troops if we get enough money. I mean, that's really not the way to run government. That's just not the right way to do it.
David Brower, I'm curious to know what you make of the governor's proposal.
Well, I would call it clever with all due sincerity. And I would also say it's not terribly original. I do want to give credit to Andy Dawkins, state representative from St. Paul, who during the legislative session had a proposal where people who were arguing for higher social spending could designate their rebate to go to five or six areas. There was a good show on NPR about that. I don't think that proposal, frankly, got enough attention, but I think that may be where Jesse got the idea. So I don't want to, I guess I would say I think his proposal is serious, but not original. I think.
So you do take it seriously.
Well, listen, it's not going to work. I agree with everybody who says that, but I do think it's a serious proposal.
Now, gentlemen, it's not going to work. I mean, I just have this image of Norm Coleman saying, "We shocked the world."
if that's true, then I will say what I said about Jesse Ventura's chances of being elected governor, which is I was wrong. But I'll stand by my prediction. I do think Steve's editorial, I take issue with it on a couple of fronts. One, on the artistic side, I would say it's an inaccurate analogy to talk about Ventura wrestling in public arenas. One thing you got to remember about those public arenas during Jesse's era is that they were subsidized, but those subsidies were paid back. For example, even Target Center, Glenn Taylor pays a personal property tax that goes toward repaying the city of Minneapolis for its investment in that building. It's only until recently that we've gotten into this era of giving sports team owners stadiums and not expecting them to pay that money back directly. The other thing is, I haven't seen anybody from the World Wrestling Federation threaten not to come here if we don't build them a facility. The other thing, the more serious issue that I have with the editorial, and this is really a matter of opinion, is that I don't think that a ballpark, as much as I would love to have an outdoor stadium, is as much of a public purpose as Steve mentioned in his editorial, farmers, light rail transit, or profiles and learning. We're talking about education, farming, and light rail transit. Those are real public purposes, I think. I don't think a ballpark is, and frankly, I don't think most of the people in Minnesota do either. Therefore, it's okay if Jesse wants to set up a fund like this for something that's on the margins at best.
Now, there are those, and this is open to both of you, there are those who suggest that this is a very canny political move by the governor because it's one way to prove that there really isn't the support out there for public funding of a baseball stadium, that this should be one way to quiet, if you will, those clamoring for public financing.
I don't know why he has to prove it. It seems as though it's been proven day after day after day that there's no public support. I think, if anything, he's just adding another bullet in the gun or another arrow in the quiver of showing that there isn't.
Steve Berg?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's very little public support for this kind of thing in Minnesota. That's no reason for the people who think it might be a good idea, at least partially for the public, to contribute to try again. The legislature sits in a new session each time. And I certainly agree that this is not as crucial an issue as aid to education or even farmers or other things. But it is a controversial idea. But so are a lot of other controversial ideas controversial. And I think it's up to the legislators, the people's representatives, to decide how to spend public money rather than through some sort of a gimmick.
And there's certainly nothing in Ventura's proposal that prevents the legislature from taking this up. And this is the thing that won't die. So if you wonder why maybe clever strategies are needed to emphasize its lack of public support, it's because it is so persistent. And it does keep coming back. It's the old, what part of no don't you understand? People say that. So when Jesse proposes something like this, I think most people can kind of get behind it because this is so persistent.
It's persistent, but one of the things that's curious is that if there was a legislature or a political landscape that was more welcoming to the idea of a stadium, it would have been 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly things have changed now. I mean, hasn't this legislature been rather clear about how they're not going to welcome public financing for a stadium?
Yeah, there's one thing I guess I don't know if Steve's necessarily making this argument, but there's one thing I do want to say in his defense, which is that there are plenty of places where the public has said no, 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 no. Some governor pulls a tricky move, the opposite of the way this governor seems to be wanting to do his, and they build it and people like it. I will acknowledge that. but I do think at the same time, I don't want to, there's sort of an implicit put down of Minnesotans that they don't see the big picture and they don't see the long-term interest if they're opposed to this. I think people do. I don't think people, especially in Minneapolis, think that this is crucial to the city's future. Minneapolis is a city that's arrived. It's a city with a strong downtown housing stock. I did a story for Newsweek touting it as one of the hot downtown cities. St. Paul, maybe there's a little better argument that by moving the money over there, you maybe could make something happen. But I think in Minneapolis, where I live, people just don't see it as a salvation because I guess we're on our way to heaven in a way.
Well, we think we are, but
oh,
I'm not
please.
So sure
may
we
I just
are.
Say, as a St. Paul person, the two of you are insufferably smug. Well, there, whew, got I'll, that out.
You got the St. Paul thing out.
Well, Catherine, I think no is the right answer in a perfect world. Unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world, and if everyone else were saying no, I would say fine. Saying no leaves the Twin Cities out of the picture.
Out of what picture?
Out of the picture of professional sports. I mean, you have to answer this question: are you better off without them? I can't quite, you know, we as an editorial board can't quite grasp the idea that we'll be a better city, that St. Paul would be a better city without the Twins, or Minneapolis would be a better city without the Vikings. We would like to err on the side of having professional sports if we could, and we think that's worth fighting for.
We are talking to Steve Berg, an editorial writer at the Star Tribune. Perhaps you saw the editorial in yesterday's Star Tribune, in which the governor's "Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is" plan for a new baseball stadium was referred to as loopy. To be fair, that was only one word out of many, but it was the one that caught our eye here at mid-morning. David Brower also joins us. He's a freelance writer in the Twin Cities. He's a correspondent for Newsweek, the Chicago Tribune, and Agence France-Presse. He's a board member of Ballpark Tours. In the late 70s, they organized a grassroots group to save Metropolitan Stadium. For those of you still a little wet behind the ears, that would be the former Twins Stadium. We are talking about the governor's "Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is" plan. It was his idea, announced late last week, that if you really want to save, if you want to get a new stadium for Twins baseball, send in that sales tax rebate. Of course, we're curious to know if you're going to be sending yours in or what you make of that plan. We're talking about the stadium. We're taking your calls. 1-800-242-2828. 1-800-242-2828. If you're in the Twin Cities and you'd like to join our conversation with David Brower and Steve Berg, it's 651-227-6000. 651-227-6000. I'm Catherine Lanfer. Yes, David Brower?
Well, I just wanted to say, you can't predict the future, but the other thing that concerns me about whether the Twin Cities would be better off without Major League Baseball, there's nothing going on right now, frankly, that suggests we are going to be without Major League Baseball, even if we don't vote for either the $200 million subsidy or the $300 million public subsidy. I mean, there is no city in North America right now for the Twins to relocate to. That's why they extended their escape clause for 2 years. Right now, Charlotte's not in the picture. Portland, a city which Steve just got back from and praised magnificently, is a city without the NFL, without the NHL, without Major League Baseball. They may be in the running in the future, but they've done all right without it. Major League Baseball is a sick puppy, and one of the things that that people have to consider after they spend this $200 to $300 million is whether the Twins really are going to be competitive, whether that is going to be something that will have fans come out. Even Patrick Roycey of the Star Tribune, who's one of the biggest stadium boosters around, allowed in a column within the last month that even with this new stadium, the Twins would still be in the bottom third of revenue-generating clubs, and so they're still going to be sick. This is still not going to be a well franchise. 7 losing seasons in a row, and I just wonder how that is really going to be for baseball here in the long term, even with a nice stadium.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, David. It's not a panacea. Certainly baseball structurally is as you describe it, a sick puppy. It's not going to be that way forever, I don't think. I think you've got to look at at the fact that 30,000 people a night in Baltimore, 30,000 people a night in Cleveland and Denver. I was watching the Cubs-Rockies game last night, 13-12, exciting ball game in Denver. I mean, you had a full packed house at Coors Field. It would be nice, at least to give Minnesota a chance to have some kind of an experience like that. And I don't think we ought to preclude and presume that baseball is going to suffer and die in the future. Certainly, it's flourishing in much of America. There are only a half a dozen markets where it's not, and we're one of them.
We're going to go to Richard in Roseville. Welcome to Mid Morning.
Well, good morning to you folks.
Hi.
Just wanted to make a comment. I don't see much difference between National Public Radio asking people to send in their money to help support the radio. Actually, I would think it would be Polad saying, "Hey, you want us to be here? Come on, send me some money." You know, or a community newspaper saying, "You know, we're free distribution of this. You know, help us out here. Let people put their money where their mouth is and let them do it." I don't know that it's going to do much good, but I think it's wonderful.
Catherine, as you well know, we once had a radio show on a commercial station in town, KSTP.
With a guy named Jesse.
Yeah, that's right. I replaced a guy named Jesse quite unsuccessfully. And if I had a dollar for everybody who called up my show in 1996 and 1997 and said, sure, I'd spend $200 for a new stadium. I'd spend $500 for a new stadium. If I had a dollar for every one of those people, I'd be a rich man. Where are they now? We'll see. Jesse's given them a chance to come out of the woodwork.
Well, I would say, you know, we just can't pass the hat to operate government. And, you know, let's say the gentleman who just called lived on Highway 494. The state was reluctant to widen 494 and said, well, you know, all of those people who want to widen 494, send in some money and we'll do it. If this was the way the state, you know, government had to operate, nothing would ever happen.
I can't help but go back to the
dairy farmers would not get their price supports. You know, why have a government? This is a common government I don't want to make this too serious, but I mean, government is a common enterprise.
It's not
a personal preference. And so it's up to the legislature to decide how to spend state money, not for
there is a difference between sidewalks, highways, infrastructure, affordable housing, educating our children, and baseball.
And furthermore, when it comes to building many roads, not 494, there is an assessment on the nearby property owners who directly benefit from that stadium. Why not a voluntary assessment for people who really want to see the stadium? I don't think it's that far off.
Well,
I know a lot of people think this is frivolous, but it's not necessarily frivolous.
No,
can be a good city building opportunity, and I think that's really the genius of what Norm Coleman is trying to do right now. It doesn't always work. It can work.
But again, at a cost of $200 to $300 million, they're talking about building a stadium riverfront in Minneapolis. If there's any place that doesn't need a baseball stadium to jumpstart it, it should be the riverfront of Minneapolis, where there's things going in already. There's housing just to the west. I don't know why, frankly, you would displace potential property tax paying housing or businesses to go there. Just redevelop the thing. The argument's a little more your way, I think, Steve, in St. Paul, where if they do build a stadium down here, I think more people will come to downtown St. Paul, and it may have a bigger impact. But it's just relocating money, as Norm is allowed.
We're going to Joe in Prior Lake. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I listen to your show quite often, and I appreciate the opportunity to call in. It's my first time.
Well, welcome.
I just have a couple comments, and then maybe a question for your guests, David and Steve. It just really frustrates me that we have a governor that embarrasses us with his very trivial seventh-grade comments on how to govern our state. The tragedy of it is that whether you're pro-stadium or against stadium, it's a serious issue. There are many jobs at stake on either side. And for him to come out with a trivial, very trivial, you know, let's pay for it, or, you know, put your money where your mouth is silly, and it's sad. And my comment is the stadium, should public funds go for it, I support it. And I support it because I think cities and states oftentimes, many, many times, will pay for a variety of stadiums and issues that are good for the public good. And I understand some people don't feel that's appropriate, but I'm more concerned about the embarrassment of our governor. There's all kinds of, I think, very, very important issues and he's trivial. And I'm a Democrat, but I tell you next time, I'm working for Republicans and Democrats to do whatever we can so our state's not embarrassed again.
Thanks for your call, Joe.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not embarrassed by Governor Ventura. I think he's... I think he might be doing this in fun. He might not. That's part of his charm. We never know when he's quite serious or not. And he can both be an entertainer, and he can be a serious policymaker, which he was in the last legislature.
We're going to go to Carrie in Red Wing. Welcome to Mid Morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm not a Jesse supporter at all, but I think this is the best thing he's ever said. I would be really angry to have my tax money go to a stadium, and I think I would definitely wouldn't send my money, and I'm really glad he said it. I think that the two mayors almost were like trying to slip in a stadium sort of on the side by having a little face-off and getting people unaware and caught up in the excitement or the competitiveness. And I'm glad he said it, and I'll take my comments off the air.
Hey, thanks, Carrie.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel the same way. I was not a Jesse voter, and I rarely find myself on the same side of his more creative public policy endeavors. But I've got to admit, deep down in my cynical little heart, I did enjoy this proposal. And I do think, even if it's not a proposal that he really thinks is going to work, I guess I agree with Steve to the extent that the editorial called it a cynical proposal. And I think there is some cynicism behind what Jesse's doing. But look at the discussion we're having. This is a discussion about the proper role of government and who should pay. And I think that proposal put a point on something, and I think Jesse deserves credit for clarifying a discussion. I don't think this is a completely frivolous proposal, and I it's a different one. It's unique, but I wouldn't call it trivial.
Do you think it's a fair barometer of stadium support?
I think it's another barometer of stadium support. As I said again, if I had a buck for everybody who said they'd put $100 into a fund, you know, I'd be a rich man. Let's see him do it. I don't think they will. And I think Steve's right. It's very dangerous if we start funding education this way, if we start funding mass transit, road building, all the things that Minnesota has had as legitimate public purposes for 150 years. But this is not one of those things.
We're going to go to Kirk in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid-Morning, Kirk.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I want to thank Mr. Berg for giving a beautiful example of the kind of Alice in Wonderland logic that the pro-stadium tax people are using. You know, that the, you know, when we have had any number of official and unofficial referenda where the including people calling up their legislators and say, don't vote for this stadium, and yet he says, well, it's up to the people's representatives to make a, you know, choice on whether we spend money for a stadium or not. I have to agree with Mr. Brower. What part of no do these people not understand? Your producer asked me, too, on my second point, is if I would support Governor Ventura's ideas. And while I agree with the prior caller about just sticking his foot in his mouth on a regular basis, I think if somebody were to seriously attempt to get some support for a real ballpark, paid for by people who would go and use it, not by some farmer, you know, Namia, who's getting 40 cents a bushel for his crop, I think I'd go for it.
Kirk, what's a real ballpark?
A real ballpark is a park. It is outdoors. It has no ceiling. It has no floor. It has no rug.
Okay. Amen.
Well, I see we have a definition of terms here. How handy.
And a good one, by the way. Very fast on his feet, I would say.
I thank Kirk for his call. I think he's absolutely right. A real ballpark is really what's important here. And I know David would agree with this, that we ought to build whatever we build, if we build it. This is not for the Twins. This is not for the Vikings, although we're talking mostly about baseball now. Whatever communities decide to build, it ought to be for the communities. It ought not to be primarily for enriching Carl Pohlad or any of his not-so-high-priced now ballplayers.
The trouble is that communities have had it taken out of their hands a little bit, what's for them. We have to do what the owners say they want. We wouldn't push fans. You know, Camden Yards, great ballpark. If you've ever been there, second deck is awful, and it will catch up with the Baltimore Orioles. It really will. People who are thinking of Wrigley Field with Camden Yards don't realize that all the private boxes they need put people in the stratosphere. And, you know, we can as a community decide, you know, we'd like to have everybody close to the field and have it be a neat experience like a bigger Saints game. That's not in our control anymore. And I think that's another thing that leads people, frankly, fans like me, to say, the heck with it for now. You know what? We'll still be the 14th biggest metropolitan area in 10 years or 20 years if these knuckleheads ever figure it out. Maybe we should wait until then. You know, we've got a franchise in mothballs right now. I don't think we'd have any problem getting a team back. I really don't, because of how much they've expanded and how desperate they are for good, attractive markets. And maybe the time's not right. Let's have them show some determination to clean up their act.
You're listening to Mid-Morning. We're talking about the governor's Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is proposal. Just late last week, he announced that he would set up a special fund for people to send back the equivalent of their sales tax rebate checks. He said, well, put your money where your mouth is. You want a baseball stadium, you send in your check. Well, now, the governor's plan was certainly presented in plain enough English. The reaction to it has been rather easy to understand as well. An editorial in the Star Tribune referred to it as loopy. We're talking to one of the authors of that editorial, Steve Berg. He's an editorial writer at the Star Tribune. We're also talking to David Brower, a freelance writer in the Twin Cities. He's a correspondent for Newsweek, the Chicago Tribune, and Agence France-Presse. He's also a board member of Ballpark Tours. Now, are you going to send in a check for the special stadium fund? We're curious to know what you make of the governor's proposal. So put your money where our phone is. Put your mouth where our phone is. Oh, my goodness, what a slip. Yeah, it's 1-800-242-2828. Pledge drive's next week. That's what's got me going. It's 1-800-242-2828. If you're in the Twin Cities, it's 651-227-6000. 651-227-6000. Also want to remind you that we have all the information you could possibly want about the stadium debate on the NPR website. It's npr.org. You can look at pictures of various sites that have been proposed as possible locations for a new stadium, and you can participate in a poll we have about several different questions surrounding the stadium issue. And, of course, there's the new NPR forum where you can go on at length about any responses you have to the conversation today. I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning. We're turning now to Greta Cunningham, who's standing by with the latest from the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.
Good morning, Catherine. The U.S. Supreme Court issued a major decision today on states' rights. The court ruled that the state governments cannot be sued against their will in state courts by people seeking to enforce some federal right. By a 5-4 vote, the justices killed a state court lawsuit by dozens of state probation officers seeking to enforce a federal labor law and collect overtime pay from Maine. Court ruled that the Constitution's structure and history shields states not only from being sued in federal courts, but also makes them immune from individuals' states' court lawsuits seeking to enforce a federal right. In another ruling this morning, the Supreme Court set aside a $1.5 billion settlement of the Fiberboard Corporation's legal liability for asbestos-related claims. By a 7-2 vote, the court ruled that a federal judge in Texas wrongly allowed a class action settlement involving Fiberboard, a vinyl siding manufacturer. New guidelines may make it more difficult for manufacturers and other defendants to obtain settlements of such lawsuits. UN officials say the high rate of refugees streaming back into Kosovo is complicating aid efforts. The officials say the refugees are also ignoring warnings about mine dangers. More than 200,000 refugees have returned in the last 8 days. In regional news, the Richfield man arrested for Katie Poyer's disappearance in Moose Lake will be released today unless lab tests provide enough evidence to charge him with kidnapping. Authorities say the man was in Moose Lake without his family when Poyer disappeared from the convenience store where she worked, but no evidence was found at his Moose Lake cabin or his Richfield home linking him directly to Poyer. Federal aviation officials say the radar problems at the Twin Cities airport are fixed and things are returning to normal. The problem involved the radar scopes in the control tower and forced the cancellation or delay of more than 100 flights yesterday. More than 100 people had to spend the night at the airport. Airport officials are advising people to call ahead today to check on the status of their flights. The forecast for Minnesota today calls for partly cloudy skies and less humid conditions in the west, with scattered morning showers and thunderstorms in the east. Highs today near 75 to 85 degrees. At this hour, it's cloudy in Duluth and 67, cloudy in Rochester and 67, and in the Twin Cities, light rain, a temperature of 69. Catherine, that's a check on the latest news.
Thanks, Greta. Today's programming is sponsored in part by Kathleen Henry, in honor of her grandmother, Ruth Henry.
Minnesota, the land of 10,000 lakes and 800,000 boats. I'm Rachel Reeby. Join us for a special Main Street broadcast from the Whitefish chain of lakes north of Brainerd. Minnesota's sky blue waters are now ringed with houses and teeming with boats. We'll talk about water quality and water safety. Today at 11 on Minnesota Public Radio, KNOW FM 91.1 in Twin Cities.
I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning here on Minnesota Public Radio. We're continuing our conversation with Steve Berg, an editorial writer at the Star Tribune, and David Brower, a freelance writer in the Twin Cities. We are talking, of course, about the governor's proposal for the new baseball stadium, rather indelicately referred to as the Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is proposal. His suggestion that if you want a new baseball stadium, great. When you get that sales tax rebate check, deposit it and write out your own personal check and send it to the state, and we'll see how it adds up. Of course, we're curious to know if you're going to do that or if you have your own ideas about this Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is proposal. 1-800-242-2828. If you're in the Twin Cities, it's 651-227-6000. We're going to go to Reno in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. I don't have the exact words from the editorial. I remember reading it yesterday, and there was some part in there that said about that it's undoubted or unquestioned or whatever, that this is good for the community, the presence of major league sports. And I just read that, and I just thought, well, what other than this guy saying that makes that so? I mean, the fact that we all felt good when the Twins won the World Series, sure. Everybody felt good on VE Day, too, but we don't want to have another world war, you know?
So, can I just make it? Hang on a minute, Reno. Go ahead, Reno.
Yeah, I'm just saying, where does this come from, that it's so unquestioned that this is a real community resource when we have so many people in the community who apparently really don't care if it packs up and leaves?
Steve Berg, I'd like to have you respond to Reno's idea.
Well, it's just our opinion that it's a community resource. I mean, we get to have opinions at the editorial page. And
can do better than that, Steve Berg. I'm sorry.
Well, obviously not everybody is going to be a baseball fan, just as not everybody is going to ride light rail transit. Not everybody's going to drive down Highway 494. Not everybody's going to be a dairy farmer that needs help. We do what's best collectively, and you know, if the state decides that it doesn't want to contribute $100 million or whatever it is to this enterprise, that's fine. But this ought to be a public discussion. I'm glad we're having it. I don't think that, but just to assume that because most Minnesotans may not go to the ball game, that we ought not to, that this is not a public enterprise of some sort, at least partially, I disagree with.
And as someone who's been critical of Steve's editorial and critical of the public subsidy plans, there's no doubt in my mind that the baseball stadium is a public asset. It's clearly better to have one than to not, but it depends on what price. I mean, if I could get one for free, I think most of us would say, hey, great, let's do it. Let's put Wrigley Field somewhere in the state. That would be a plus. $200 million, $300 million, that's where I think.
Well, David brings up a really interesting point, and I think he ought to talk about this a little bit, because we would be willing to get behind what are often called boutique ballparks as well. Cheaper ballparks that are built into neighborhoods that have year-round stores or other businesses associated with them. Ballparks that are certainly more than ballparks. Maybe have skating rinks inside in the wintertime. You can do all sorts of mixed uses in ballparks now that could be an actual community asset.
Who has a boutique ballpark?
Nobody, really, yet.
I mean, there have been a lot of people, in St. Paul especially, some of my friends who have been talking about driving the cost of this ballpark down even further. The cost has kind of come down. It may be a fantasy as they've tried to make it saleable. Maybe we can drive it down even further and build something. I don't know if a mega development is the way to go. I tend to think if we need all those things in our community, we should just build them and forget about the stadium. That's the expensive part. But to get away from the Ellerbe Becketts, who built the big overbuilt indoor-outdoor ballpark in Arizona, and throw it open to somebody new and say,
give us the lowest cost thing that the community might support. I still haven't seen that from anybody. And I, just as part of this exercise, I would like to see that. Maybe there's a $150 million ballpark out there that would look like Wrigley Field with a few more private boxes that might work. I don't know if the Twins would go for it, but
absolutely. Well, let them give them a chance to say yes or no, and if they don't want it, bring in a AAA team.
And right, if we can get this cost low enough where it pays for itself or the subsidy is much, much lower, I'm all for it, but I don't know that we've gone there yet. We're maybe getting there.
We're going to go to Kate in Duluth. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I think that Governor Ventura's idea is excellent, that people who want to pay can, and people who don't. I think the majority of people don't want to pay for millionaires to play baseball, and it's just a great idea. And comparing it to WAR or subsidy for farmers or streets is ridiculous.
All right. Thanks, Kate. I would hasten to add that something about baseball does tend to make everyone's language and analogies a little more colorful than usual.
Well, once again, communities ought to think about this as it's not for millionaires. It's for us. It's for people who might want to be entertained. You know, I think that in Minnesota, we spend an awful lot of time being angry, resentful, hating the rich. And instead of living our lives a little bit more lightheartedly, you know, looking for opportunities to have fun. Why not?
It's very hard not to recall the last stadium debate and the bitterness that flowed when it was discovered that the financing that was supposed to be a gift was not. It was actually going to be a loan. I grant you, it's very easy to sketch a picture of this populace as all we're all coming from ancestors who lived in sod houses, and y'all, we're all depressed, and the winter gets to us. But you know something? To tell us that we should be lighthearted and embrace millions of dollars in financing when we have an affordable housing crisis, it's loopy, Steve Burke.
And I just want to say for my St. Paul Saints fans out there, you know, a lot of us are against the subsidies, but we're having fun out there at baseball, so I think we can do that. There's at least some of us who don't fit that description, and probably most of us.
We are going to go to Hans in Maplewood. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hey, nice to talk to you.
Well, good.
I think Mr. Ventura's ideas sometimes are a little bit interesting, if I could put it that way. But I think maybe we're missing the boat a little bit, and I think what he's thrown in here is something called creativity that may be lacking in our discussion. And rather than having a continual tug of war about, yes, we should finance it, no, we shouldn't finance it, maybe we should think a little bit more creatively. What I'm kind of getting at is, like, let's say we build a stadium. We say, okay, we're going to fund the stadium, the nicest stadium in the league. Around 2002, 2003, we're going to have this thing. Around 2015, here we're going to go again with the same thing. So maybe we can develop some kind of financing. So around 2015, when everyone, you know, who's big into sports says, well, gee, we need a new stadium now, we're going to have some kind of assets built up, and those assets could be provided mainly by the people who are going to use it. Just a thought to ponder, and thank you, Mr. Ventura, for throwing in a little bit of creativity.
You know, we could open that fund for, you know, 15 years, I guess, to build up some revenue. I do want to say the closest thing to what Hans is talking about is the Metrodome, which was basically paid for by user fees and has developed something of a surplus, although a lot of it's been spent to allow for improvements. Now, not the kind of improvements that the Vikings or the Twins may want out of that stadium, but 1982 was the good old days, stadiums that paid for themselves and actually ran a surplus to be able to improve themselves.
You know, one thing I'd like to hear responses from both of you on is whenever you have the stadium debate, it seems that at some point, and I think we can almost recite this in unison, you get to a point where someone says, stadium won't happen until professional baseball gets its house in order. And we roll through the usual arguments about revenue sharing and how, unlike football, baseball is in a mess with the way that they divvy up revenues. I'm curious, you know, just recently Norm Coleman went to Jesse Ventura and asked his help and said, you know, could you lead some sort of national drive to have baseball get its house in order? Well, first of all, I wish I had been a fly on the wall in that conversation. I would have liked to have witnessed it. What could Jesse do?
Well, I don't know what he could do. He could, you know, a lot of people are jawboning baseball on this issue. That doesn't seem to help. Arlen Specter has a bill right now in the Congress that's going to go nowhere, that threatens baseball with the loss of its antitrust exemption, and specifies, I believe, that half of television money, television revenues, go into some kind of a stadium fund. The NFL already has a stadium fund, a mechanism whereby teams can borrow money to help pay off their stadiums for the good of the league. And I think that's a good idea. But the gentleman is correct when he called asking for more creativity. I think that I think we need a lot more creativity, both in how we build stadiums and in trying to make sure that Minnesota, we hope, is still in the ballgame if and when Major League Baseball fixes itself. I don't think it's close to fixing itself quite yet. There aren't enough teams. Well, let me put it this way. There are too many teams who still think that they can compete. Maybe 20 out of the 30 teams are still under the illusion that they can actually win the pennant. There are only half a dozen teams or so, I think that's, would you agree, David, that are in desperate trouble competitively. And until we have more of those teams who are in trouble, baseball is not likely to cure itself in the way that we'd like to see.
I think the competitive imbalance in baseball is almost worse than it's ever been. I think there's maybe 10 clubs that can compete for a title, and the rest, the other 20, are in...
10 are dreamers, and the other 10 are out of it.
Yeah, I would say, too, that I think if Jesse haters want to see Jesse fall on his sword, he should take on Major League Baseball. I think he'll lose pretty quickly. Everybody else has. And I would also say that falling for plans like Norm Coleman's or the Hennepin County Board of Commissioners, I think, enables baseball to postpone dealing with its problems, because communities succumb to blackmail over and over again. And I think we'd be almost the most crazy.
We're enablers? Is that what
we
you're
are
saying?
Enablers in 90s terms. We are enablers. And I, as I said earlier, the fact that we would build this stadium and the Twins would still be a small revenue club, to me, is almost the most loopy thing of all. I mean,
I just have this image of getting all the dealers in a room and just, we love you very much, and that's why we're here. We need you to sit down. This is an intervention.
It's when communities love bad sports. I mean, that's really good communities. Love bad sports.
Which one's from Venus? Which one's from Mars?
Right, yeah.
And I'm getting confused. All right, we're going to go to Ed in St. Paul. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to be as succinct as possible. I think that the governor proposal is really ludicrous. Shows no real thinking on his part. I think Mayor Coleman is really demonstrating some leadership in trying to move the idea forward kind of from a community-based approach. I don't think anyone in the state of Minnesota can have any real impact on solving Major League Baseball's internal political and power issues. I think that someday that will happen, because baseball is a fundamental American institution. And I really believe that it's up to the people. If we want, we're kind of at a crossroads here, as I see it. If the metropolitan area wants to continue to be and grow as an economic center for the upper Midwest, becoming more international in trade and economic interests, then I think we have to decide that we're going to have the kinds of things like sports stadiums and outdoor amphitheaters for the orchestra and things like that, and we don't do that by sending a check into a fund, because we're going to put our money where our mouth is.
All right, thanks, Ed. Steve Berg.
I think the caller makes an excellent point about competition among cities. This is more and more a part of the American and the international scene. And any industrial commercial recruiter that you talk to will, like it or not, talk about the importance of professional sports in a town as a way to attract business, better jobs, higher pay, all the kinds of quality of life sort of things, ingredients that go into making for a better metropolitan life. And we saw recently Honeywell leave Minneapolis. I think that that's going to happen more and more.
You think they had something to do with
baseball? No, not at all.
All right.
I'm just saying that cities like Minneapolis and St. Paul are remote cities. We're vulnerable to losing the kinds of high pay, high quality, high value jobs that we would like to have. And a small ingredient for ensuring that that continues to happen, not happen, is professional sports.
We're talking to Steve Berg. He's an editorial writer at the Star Tribune. We're also talking to David Brower, a freelance writer in the Twin Cities and a correspondent for Newsweek, the Chicago Tribune, and Agence France-Presse. We are talking about the governor's Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is proposal for a new baseball stadium. We, of course, would like you to put your mouth on our phone number. That doesn't quite work, but you know what I mean. Call in. Join this conversation. It's 1-800-242-2828. If you're in the Twin Cities, it's 651-227-6000. Also want to remind you that we have all the information you could possibly want about the stadium debate on the NPR website. You go to npr.org. There are pictures there of the various sites that have been proposed as possible locations for a new stadium. And you can participate in a poll that has several different questions surrounding the stadium issue. I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning here on Minnesota Public Radio. David Brower, you had something you wanted to add.
Well, just some quick responses to Ed and to Steve. First of all, about Coleman's community-based approach. When I was at the Saints game, I saw their petition gatherers who are from Nebraska. It strikes me that this is more AstroTurf than grassroots. I think Norm is going to the people with his plebiscite, but I think the plebiscite is not coming from the bottom up, but from the top down. It baffles me why Republican leaders at the legislature have not said no to Coleman's plan already, because it would require the state to pay $100 million merely at this point to move a franchise from Minneapolis to St. Paul. It may be in St. Paul's interest. It's clearly not in the state's. I'm not aware that the amphitheaters are publicly subsidized. I'm not fully up to speed on the amphitheaters, but I think there's a demand in the 14th largest metropolitan area for an amphitheater. There's a lot of proposals. That's the way it should work. And as far as the Minneapolis's competitiveness, yeah, I think there is some small competitive advantage to having major league sports here. But you look at some of the most desirable cities around: Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Portland, Oregon, Morristown, New Jersey. None of them have the full bevy of professional sports, and they've done just fine. I think there are more fundamental things that we could spend our money on: affordable housing so we can have workers for all the jobs that want them so we can grow. Hennepin County doesn't spend a dime on affordable housing, and yet they're talking about levying a sales tax to pay for a baseball stadium. It's crazy.
We're going to Julie in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid-Morning, Julie.
Hi, thanks.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a Jesse supporter, but I do like this proposal, and I guess I just find it, I don't know, ironic, I guess, that we have billionaire owners here who aren't rising to the challenge. They'd rather whine for public dollars. And it seems to me they must have made their billions being successful entrepreneurs, and that there's a challenge here and that there's an opportunity to build their stadium. And they're just, we haven't heard anything. And the other thing is, when the Star Tribune says that we shouldn't pass the hat to fund public endeavors, I'd say we already are. I mean, I am buying wrapping paper and coupon books from the neighborhood kids because my neighborhood school can't afford all-day kindergarten and can't afford foreign language teachers or even more basic needs. And so we're already passing the hat for something as fundamental as education. And it seems to me stadiums are not fundamental, but they are more of a luxury item. And passing the hat is certainly a more reasonable or just a new creative proposal. And let's hear some more entrepreneurial ideas like that. Thanks.
Thanks, Julie.
The owners ought to rise to the challenge. They ought to rise a lot more than they have so far. The problem is they are in a competitive advantage as well. San Francisco gets a lot of talk because it's privately funded a baseball stadium, the only stadium in the country for baseball that's been privately funded. The problem with that is that the Giants will be not be able to compete with other teams for the next 20 years because they're spending all their money on this lavish stadium that they've built.
And the other problem with San Francisco is that it's virtually going to be unaffordable to the average fan, but then so are most of these publicly subsidized parks, with the exception of a few thousand seats. It's a problem. This is what I mean about baseball being so fundamentally screwed up right now.
We're going to Terry in Lake City. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, I just wanted to make a couple of points, and then I'll get off the line, and you can answer them as you like. I support Jesse Ventura's proposal a great deal. I know a lot of people are calling in saying it obviously didn't require any thought, and he's just putting his foot in his mouth. Obviously, since about half the callers calling in are supporting this idea, sounds to me like the idea has some merit, at least at that point. I'd also like to make a comment about the Metrodome. One of your distinguished guests said a little earlier that was the last of the user fee style stadiums that was paid for through user fees. It was my understanding that is all been paid for by a special tax on restaurants, hotels, and bars in downtown Minneapolis, and that tax was never repealed once the stadium was paid for.
Terry, I'm going to get you a quick answer before you continue. David Brower is shaking his head here.
That's not right. The tax was a blink-on, blink-off tax. It was paid from 1982, roughly, and it blinked off in 1984. It's never come back on. It's repealed now. But the caller's right to one extent. For those few years, there were some few dollars generated from tax funds. He's right.
Okay, Terry, continue.
There is still a 15% tax, though, on dining in Minneapolis.
Doesn't go to the Metrodome.
Okay. But that alone breeds kind of our mistrust of public funding, too. And then I know there was some talk at one point about a special tax, and the people aren't going to buy that because maybe the money stopped being funneled to the Metrodome, but the tax never went away. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do, but the tax went away.
Okay. We're going to go on to Joe and Edina. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing great, Joe.
Good. I want to respond to the comment that we can let the Twins go and we can then get another ball team here because we're such a big market. What's the estimated cost right now of a new stadium for the Twins currently? Is it $200 million or $300 million? Is that something like what it is?
That's the neighborhood,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Now, my guess is that in 5 years that price is going to go up. And my second assumption on this is that there really isn't any way that we're going to get a ball team here if we let the Twins go without building a stadium, because that's kind of the general consensus in the United States right now, is that you want a team, you supply a stadium. I mean, it happened in Arizona, happened down in Florida. What do you think?
I mean, I think I'm the one who said it. This is David Brower, and there certainly is a risk that if we let the Twins go, they'll never come back. In fact, even though I think I'm talking about a scenario 10, 15 years down the road where baseball hasn't fixed itself and it may become easier to get a team. Right now, I think that you're right, although, you know, boy, you look at Florida, you look at Tampa Bay, they got franchises with stadiums, terrible stadiums, and now these teams are talking about moving. There are a lot of sick franchises. Montreal is in this category. You know, maybe 10, 15 years from now, we'll have a munificent billionaire or a community that's changed its mind or baseball will have fixed itself and become a more desirable investment. That's what I'd prefer to wait for at this point.
We're going to Mark in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you.
Hi, Mark.
Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very strongly about this. Baseball is not just another sport. There is a reason that there's a rich literary tradition behind baseball, and there's not behind tennis, there's not behind basketball, and there's not behind other sports. Baseball is the American pastime, and there's a way to regain baseball from the millionaires and billionaires who are ruining it right now, and that is community ownership. I know this sounds radical, but not just building a stadium, we should be buying the team. We'll probably get the best price we could right now while the Twins are down. And once the community owns the team, then other communities around the country can own the teams, and eventually we can reclaim this sport.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Mark. I'd like to have both of you respond since we're beginning to run out of time.
Oh, I'm going to make one of my fellow board members of Ballpark Tours very unhappy about this, but because my friend Julian Lascalzo is a big booster of community ownership. I think baseball is so screwed up right now that the last thing you want to do is own a franchise. Then, because we will be doomed to be a low-revenue city, and we will lose money. Unfortunately, baseball has managed to screw itself up enough where even that good idea in the long term isn't a good idea in the shorter medium term.
Steve Burke.
Oh, I totally agree. I had nothing more to add.
All right. We are beginning to run out of time. If you can very quickly tell me what you think is going to happen with this proposal. Steve Burke.
I think it'll just the money will trickle in. and the people who are against the stadium will use it as proof to not build it.
All right, David Brower?
I think that's what I'd bet my mortgage on, but I also would bet my mortgage on this coming back yet again in the next legislative session in some other permutation. I do think we'll know for sure within a couple of years.
Okay. Steve Berg's an editorial writer at the Star Tribune. I thank you for joining us today, Steve Berg.
Thank you.
And David Brower, a freelance writer in the Twin Cities, a correspondent for Newsweek, the Chicago Tribune, and Agence France-Presse.
Thrilled to do your show for the first time, Catherine.
Nice to have you here, David. I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning here on Minnesota Public Radio.